Can you travel through the atmosphere invisibly like I do? Can you make invisible loaves and fishes come into visibility? I can. Can you calm the tempest? I can. Can you open the eyes of the blind? I can. Then what's the good of all your material powers if they can't do these things that I can do? And I am yourself. I am your body. I am your mind. And I am trying to teach you to rely on this I, Christ, in you to do these things. And so, it may seem difficult to give up your material ways of doing things, as it is for the disciples to give up their dependence on their leader. He says, I'm going away. But that's exactly why he is going away, so that they will not depend on their leader. That's why we give up our material desire for physical powers, mental powers, defenses. Because we learn to rest on not the false sense of life, but the invisible power of the Spirit, which can do all things. I live, yet not I, Christ strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ. And so you're surrendering your accustomed mode of doing things for the way of doing the Christ way, and you have to put your total trust in I, Christ, by learning to live with I, Christ, day by day. You're letting Jesus go away, knowing that Christ is not going away. You're letting material consciousness go away, knowing that spiritual consciousness is present and will take its place. This is learning to live spiritually instead of materially. It was unthinkable for the disciples to live without Jesus near them. But yet it was the only way that they could come into Christ consciousness. It's unthinkable for the world not to live materially. And yet it's the only way we can come into Christ consciousness. Now nobody said get on a cliff and jump off. Nobody said do it overnight. The teaching is to rest in the Christ mind day by day by day by day until you know what it means to rest in the Christ mind. Until the Christ mind shows you the way. It's a gradual spiritual evolution out of one way of life into another, out of the world into the invisible, finished kingdom of God. Why would he disappear from them if he loved them? His loving them must have had something to do with disappearing from them. He did it because he loved them, to free them from dependence on outer aids, to make them self-reliant in Christ, to teach us to be self-reliant in Christ. That means whatever ails you, whatever material aid you wish to remove that which ails you, is hanging on to the coattails of Jesus. Same thing. You must learn to turn it over to I, Christ, in you. And if you're practicing your seven steps, it's very simple. I, Christ, am present. The power of I, Christ, is here. The evil power cannot exist where I, Christ, power is, and therefore there's no evil power here. It isn't here, and therefore there's no power here to cause the evil I'm suffering from. I know how serious it appears, but there is no power here to cause it. The self-assumed power to cause the evil is the deception of the world mind in you. It's just the evidence that you're not in the I-Christ mind. That's all that evil is. It's the sign that we're not in the I Christ mind. And the remedy? The I Christ mind is all that's here. There is no other mind. There is only one mind. There is no other mind. The mind that perceives evil is no mind. It is the betrayer, the deceiver, the liar from the start. I'm looking at evil with a mind that isn't here, and that's why I see evil. In the stillness of that mind that isn't here, the Christ mind says, behold, the Son of God, immaculate, perfect as the Father. In the stillness of the human mind, the deceiver can no longer betray us. In the stillness of the human mind, I, Christ, reveal the Father's Son, whole, complete, unseparated, living now here under the government of God, perfect as the Father. When you let the human mind go away, you're letting Jesus go away. You're becoming less form conscious, less mind conscious. You're not leaning on someone else. You're not letting the world mind fool you. Jesus is saying to his disciples, you know me as a form, a man come to bring you a kingdom on earth, an earthly kingdom, but you're wrong. I am not a form. I am not a man. I am I, Christ, the Spirit of God. And so this form must go. And yet the very power that you have experienced through me on this earth will remain here and continue to do the very same work when the form goes, because the form never was here. Only the I, Christ, was here, which you looked at and called the form, called Jesus. And when the form is not here, and the work is still being done, you will know that I, Christ, am still here doing the mighty works. And then the great illumination. If the form of Jesus wasn't here, but I, Christ, was and still doing the works, what about my form? If I'm I, Christ, what about my form? Is it here? Is it really here, and is I, Christ, here too? If the form of Jesus goes away, but I, Christ, remains, isn't that all that was ever there? Isn't that what he's showing them? I, Christ, is all that's ever here. You're seeing an image in mind called Jesus where I, Christ, stands. But I've told you God is my Father and your Father. And I, Jesus, can look at you and see only I, Christ, standing where you see your own form. I, Jesus Christ, can see I, Christ, where you stand. I see no cripple. I see no blind man. I see no person. I see I, Christ, the Son of God. And as you learn to live in I, Christ in you teaches you that that is the fullness of your being. I, Christ, teaches you that corporeality is an idea, a cosmic idea. That all person is cosmic idea, where only I, Christ, is. Without I, Christ, mind, there is no way to know the reality of being. Slowly we're being led to rely less and less and less on human methods and on the human mind. And to know that as we rely less on the human mind, however uncomfortable it seems at times, we are being led into the perfect reality of our being experienced. He's telling them these things so they will not be troubled, so they can endure difficulties, knowing it is for the good of their own being that they must go through this change from sense consciousness to Christ consciousness. He's told them it's not an easy way. He's told us it's not an easy way. But he's told us where it leads to. It leads to the life which is without end. It leads to the actual experience of the perfect, permanent self. And he has told us that the kingdom of heaven is here on earth to be experienced now. Within you. The great moment of Jesus announcing that he's leaving his disciples shows that all visible work on earth has been done. There's nothing for him to do in the visible anymore. His work is complete. And you reach the point where all human authority to you is no longer necessary. No human teacher is necessary. Christ within becomes your accepted self. We who are disciples learn that we must go to Christ within ourselves in order to follow the Master's teaching. And let Christ within ourselves train the disciples within us until every divine quality is brought forth. Now you may feel for a while that you really don't know where your feet are standing when you're going through this, because your mind doesn't function the same way. It loses its capacity to run you in the same way it had in the past. It loses some of its authority. And it's a strange feeling. But also, with it comes the reassurance that because it's a strange feeling, something is happening. I'm transferring power from the false sense of mind to the Christ mind. And I feel something happening as I do that. It's an uncertain stage, but a necessary one to go through. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And if I depart, I will send him unto you. Looks like we're going to skip the intermission if it's all right with you. I will send him unto you. Now the Comforter that he will send is the Holy Ghost. And who is sending the Holy Ghost? Christ is sending the Holy Ghost. And therefore, we have this pattern. God the Father is Christ in Jesus. And Christ in Jesus is one with the Father. The Father is in Christ. Christ is in the Father. And then because Christ is in the Father, the activity of God comes through Christ. The will of God comes through Christ, the power of God comes through Christ, and becomes the invisible activity of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. That is the Christ sending the Comforter. The activity of Christ comes through the disciple as the invisible Holy Ghost, including within it the full power and will and love and all the qualities of the Father. These are the new disciples. This activity is the Holy Ghost, which is called a Comforter, which is sent by the Christ. And when you depart from the outer world of material aids, material needs, and turn to the Christ in you, then through the Father, through the Christ, comes the invisible Holy Ghost to you to do what you were not able to do with human power or with a human mind. The miracle of the Holy Ghost transforms and brings the word into flesh, and you find the power of Christ in you is the activity of Christ called the Holy Ghost, and it does the miracle work that you were laboriously struggling to accomplish in your own limited human way. All this from I consciousness, living in I consciousness. You let material needs and powers go away, represented by Jesus. And then Christ in you is where you live, and Christ in you sends the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, which performs the divine will in you, which is what Jesus in the visible had done to show the power of the invisible Christ. He's saying that everything you have seen Jesus Christ do, the Holy Ghost in you can do, and greater works, if you believe on I, Christ in you. We're seeing that these were not miracles of yesterday at all, and that the finished, invisible kingdom of God is ever present here now. Maybe it would be better if we did take a break. So I think we'll do that right now, and then come back in 5 minutes. And when he has come, meaning the Comforter, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Now then, there is sin in the world, false righteousness and false judgment. And they exist because the world is still either denying the existence of God or depending on Jesus to do something about it. Here's Jesus trying his best to show them why he must leave, and the world is insisting that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is saying the only way you'll ever learn the truth is if I go away. And the world says, well, if you've got to go away, we'll wait till you get back here. He says, if I go away, I will send the Comforter. Not Jesus Christ. The Comforter. The activity of Christ. The Ghost. That which is unexplainable to the human sense mind. Because it's like that individual who was displaced from his job and going back home, and suddenly it occurred to him, independent of his own thought, over and above everything he was thinking, this invisible presence saying, everywhere is your home. That was the Ghost. That said to him and did for him more than any human teaching can do. And it was a comfort, because it was the truth. The only real comforter is the truth. And sin will be reproved, and righteousness will be reproved, and judgment will be reproved. And the importance of the dissolving of sin and false righteousness and false judgment is that they are three barriers to what Christ consciousness is leading us to. First, sin is removed by a very simple process, the knowledge that it doesn't exist. Righteousness, if you remember, our human sense of righteousness is a very limited thing. It's a self-satisfied feeling that I'm doing the right thing. It's a stagnancy in our own self-conceit. We feel we're being righteous. And of course, that's a human righteousness, and it may be fine on a human level. But divine righteousness is totally different. If you are being righteous in your own human way,
That doesn't mean you're doing God's will. It means you're doing what you think is right. And it may be nice, it may be moral, it may be helpful. But he is revealing here another level of consciousness and a new kind of righteousness. A righteousness which is fulfilled only by Christ. That the human sense of righteousness is never sufficient. That divine will can only be fulfilled in Christ, and Christ's fulfillment is righteousness. There is only Christ's righteousness. We see how easily two countries can each think they're righteous and end up on a battlefield. And they're both so convinced that they're both righteous. In divine righteousness, the will of the Father is functioning through Christ in you as the invisible Holy Ghost, and his divine plan in you is fulfilled, not your human sense idea of what it ought to be. We are lifted above all human error, human judgment, human miscalculation. We are lifted above the obvious paradox of a human finite mind trying to fulfill the infinite will. It cannot do it. And so we need the Christ mind to fulfill the infinite will. And only that is righteousness. And therefore, the Comforter must come unto you. If we're still waiting for Jesus to come back, what we're doing is we're throwing the whole teaching out the window. Because he already left 2,000 years ago that we might receive the inner Christ. And when we receive the inner Christ, we are lifted above the belief in the presence of sin. All evil on this earth disappears in the presence of Christ. It is powerless. And so there's no flood to drown, no fire to burn. There's no disease to kill. Sin is reproved. The presence of Christ removes the power of sin by revealing that where Christ is present, sin does not exist. And it removes the false human, limited, finite sense of righteousness, that because I think it's right, it's right. And it brings in a new higher level of government. It brings in the fourth dimension, which is unlimited dimension. And then divine will is done in you. And that is divine righteousness. And then because you have the Christ mind, the activity of the Christ in you, you don't look out and make false judgments. You don't look out and judge this to be wrong and that to be wrong. You can look at everything wrong and say it's only wrong because I am looking at it through the separated human mind. It really can't be wrong because Christ in you reveals that all that is ever present is God. And only Christ in you reveals this. Now look carefully and see this. If Jesus must go away that we find the Christ, and Jesus is saying even Jesus can't be your intermediary any longer, you see the fatal error of going to a clergyman as your intermediary? Or going to a psychiatrist as your intermediary? Or going to any human being as your intermediary? When Jesus himself says, I can't even be your intermediary. You see the fallacy of religion believing that it is our intermediary with God? When Jesus says, not even me. Not even me. But Christ in you is all that can go to God for you. And so, of course, that takes the complete foundation out of religion. And that's why religion has to teach that Jesus is coming back. Now, you can call it ignorance or you can call it a lie. The result is the same. It's a total reversal of the teaching of Christ. There is no human intermediary between man and God, because God is the selfhood of the individual who thinks he needs an intermediary. And when he knows who he is, he understands why Jesus had to go away from the disciples. Now, this is automatic. When the Comforter comes unto you, the activity of Christ in you removes false judgments, false human righteousness, and the false belief that sin exists, that evil and error are real. And this is necessary, because this isn't the end. When this is removed, then you are ready for the mystical marriage. You are ready for your soul to marry your spirit. This is all the purification, the preparation for the great event when there is union. Now, on earth, we have the human birth. And it occurs through man and woman. And all of this is an imitation of the actual union of the soul and the spirit. For in the union of the soul and the spirit, you are witnessing the reality of union. And in that union, Christ is born in your soul. And the birth of Christ in your soul is that which appears on earth to human sense as the birth of a child. The union of man and woman and the birth of a child is the cosmic counterfeit of the union of soul and spirit and the birth of Christ in you. This is the mystical marriage that is being led to by the withdrawal of the material aids, the outer visible external Jesus, that man may turn to his inner self to be led through the Spirit to the reality of being, to the marriage of soul and spirit, to the birth of Christ, which lifts us into the next plane of life. When you live in your I consciousness, you are preparing the way for this ultimate attainment. Now I want to give you your assignment, and it has to do with the next verse, which is verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. This is what he said to his disciples after 3 years of being with them. Things that he couldn't say to them even at that level. Why? Because they couldn't understand. There was no way for them to relate to what he had to say. Now, you should know some of the things that he couldn't tell them. And the reason is, they had no way of anticipating the events that lay ahead. You have. You know what lay ahead, and you know what happened. If he had told them certain things before crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, there would be no way for them to understand. But you know that crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension is what the Bible says happened. And therefore, on the basis of that, you should be able to know, and through your understanding of the infinite way message, what were some of the things he couldn't tell them at that time, which he would be able to tell them after the ascension, after the resurrection, when they had gone through that experience, seeing the return of the same form that disappeared. And this is your assignment then, for your own benefit, not mine. Make a list to yourself. What were some of the things that Jesus couldn't tell his disciples at this particular point, which is verse 12 of John 16? Ye cannot bear them, he said. Meaning, You have no capacity in you to understand them. But later, he's going to tell them these things. And why? Because they will then have had the capacity to receive them. And what will that capacity be? It will be their new Christ faculty developed. And therefore, why are we studying to develop this Christ faculty? Because we're at the level where in order to receive a higher teaching, we must build a faculty to receive it. Just as they could not receive more at that point, we are at the point where we cannot receive more until we are living in the conscious awareness of the Christ mind as my mind. And that's how you receive more, because the next verse explains that. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Your new faculty receives from the infinite that which you cannot receive in a human mind. Your new faculty has the capacity for direct cognition of God. Your new faculty has the capacity to receive inner revelation regularly. Your new capacity in Christ's mind has the ability to be fed, taught by God direct, without Jesus, without an intermediary, without a clergyman, without a human teacher. For I go unto my Father. And this faculty must be developed consciously and daily. It's the reverse of dying daily. It's the being born daily. Each day you're being born into Christ awareness, dying to the mortal sense of self, as you are born into the immortal awareness of truth. Now, in your list, don't be afraid to state those things which Jesus couldn't teach his disciples at that time, even though it would be a list you wouldn't want to show to many of your friends. Because let's presume that he wanted to tell them that they did not have any life in their human form. Would you want to show that to a friend who didn't know anything about the message? Don't be afraid of what you think he couldn't tell them. Because that is what we must learn in order to make every step into real freedom. Those things that he couldn't tell them are the things that we must learn. You found many of them in the writings of Joel Goldsmith. In fact, they're all there. But you may not have seen them even though they're there. Or something in you, the mind that refuses to be the Christ mind, also refuses to look at some of these things. You'd rather pretend or defer that until some other day. But know the time has come. And we're going to discuss those things next time. And we're not going to flinch from them. We cannot avoid the truth. The things that were so difficult to explain to his own disciples, you and I must learn because we are those disciples. And the way we're going to learn them is to be consciously in I Christ more often than we have been. Now today, you may have found yourself in I Christ more than at previous meetings, because always when we come to this message, we find that we are having invisible help. I can assure you that the invisible help is very bountiful and very real. Because we are continuing in the word of Christ. And the Father says, continue in my word, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And so as we come to that which the Christ commands of us, if we make the effort to obey, you find your invisible help is lifting you up. And now, to sum it up, every difficulty that we have entertained in this world has been on the level of the human mind. It matters not how great the difficulty. If it was a flood in the ocean, and you were on a ship, and you thought you were in that ocean, on that ship, that entire scene is happening in your mind, even though you personally believe you're there. And the mind in which it's happening is the only place in which it's happening. And if you were in the Christ mind, you would discover that is the truth. You cannot accept such a ridiculous statement if you're in a human mind. But if you're in the Christ mind, you discover the Christ mind says to the storm, be still, it is I. That's the way of saying that the Christ mind reveals that that which is real to the human mind is not real to God. And that which is real to the Christ mind is not real to the human mind. Or as Paul put it, the things of God are foolishness to man, and vice versa. All of the things that have been wrong have been in our human mind. And as we are lifted into the new dimension of consciousness called Christ mind, we discover these things are not where we thought they were. That is the miracle. Not healing, not performing miracles. The miracle is that in the Christ mind, you actually witness the kingdom of God on earth. And the Christ mind in you is the only witness of that kingdom. That's why it's invisible to the human mind. That's our transition period at this point. That's what we're stepping into consciously, aware of what we're doing. That's Jesus going that we may find Christ within. You might say Jesus is saying, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going away. I who am going away is Jesus, but I who am remaining is Christ. For further study, you can look into the mystical eye and see the two rays of eye. In Job's, I think it's his seventh chapter, the two ways of eye. I, Jesus, am going, I, Christ, am remaining. That's the reason. You've got to watch this carefully, this eye. I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's not the same I all through there, you see. One I is Jesus and one I is Christ, and you've got to read it carefully to see which is Jesus and which is Christ. Then you find that sometimes it's I, Jesus, talking, and another time he's saying, I, Christ, will do this, but I, Jesus, will do that. And then you see that I, Jesus, is the outer, I, Christ, is the inner. And every time he's talking of I, Christ, the inner, he's talking about I, Christ, in you. I, Christ, in you sends the action of the Holy Ghost, not I, Christ, in Jesus. I, Christ, in you sends the Holy Ghost, because I, Christ, in Jesus and I, Christ, in you are one and the same. He's awakening us to the power of I, Christ, in us. We'll start at that point next time. It'll be chapter 16 from 12 and 13 verses on. I don't know how far we'll get. If any of you are wondering just how long this is going on, I will tell you this, that there may be a week or two low when we take a little time off around Christmas, before or after, and the whole thing will continue right on up to Easter. And we may even finish the book and finish John, but we'll continue with a thing called the Kingdom of Heaven and the highlights of Joel's work right on up to Easter, just so that we know where we're going. What we want to do by Easter is to be in this eye consciousness so perfectly that the Comforter in you is sending the activity of the Holy Ghost. There's so much more to say, but we'll leave it unsaid. And I'm sure the comforter in you will fill in many of the gaps. Thanks again.